Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our chapel service today. Please note in your bulletin for Friday that we'll be starting our service today with the singing of a psalmody led by a soloist, and you're invited to join along on the refrain. And then also note that we go right into the singing of two verses of a hymn as indicated. Lord's blessings on our worship today. Hear now our reading taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the 8th chapter. As you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also, that is the grace of giving. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, I was a pastor of a church in Florida, and one day after church, there was a man who had been at the service that day who was not from our congregation, and he looked very disheveled. And in talking to him afterward, he needed some help. He was on his way back to the Midwest and needed some help with gas money. And I typically had a policy of not just handing out money. So I said to him, there's a gas station about 2 blocks away. I'll meet you there in about 5 minutes. I have to run home next door, get my car, and I'll meet you over there, and I'll pump gas in your car for you. And it was a truck. Put gas in your truck for you. So I went home, and my little son, who was 5 years old, Jacob, was with me. And he said, what are we doing, Dad? And I said, well, you can come along, jump in the car with me. And I explained to him about this man needing some help, and he seemed like he was legitimately in need and what we were going to do for him. So I went over, and I met this man at the gas station and got out and started pumping gas into his truck. And the man walked over to go to the gas station, I believe, to use the restroom. My little son, Jacob, got out of the car and walked over and started talking to the man about 30, 40 feet away from me, and I couldn't hear what they were saying. I thought it was interesting, this little five-year-old coming up to this man he never knew and was talking to him. And he was showing him something in his hand and having quite a conversation. And then my son came back to the car, and we were driving back home, and I said, Jacob, what did you go talk to that man about? And he said, oh, well, I had some pennies along with me, and I gave those to him if he wanted them, but he said he didn't need them. And I'll have to say it was a proud moment as a parent that to see this generosity in my son warmed my heart to see my son go offer this man these pennies, even though it was a small, tiny little thing. When God, our Heavenly Father, looks down from heaven into the lives of his children in this world, it warms his heart to see generosity in us. It warms his heart to see us helping other people with acts of charity and kindness, hospitality, and mercy and compassion. You know, when it comes to what motivates us to give or be kind to people, God could easily have decided to use force and intimidation and threats to make us do that. He could easily have chosen to come with threats of crushing us or of striking us down with health problems or removing everything from us and taking all of his blessings away. He could easily have used some form of intimidation and pressure on us to get us to do things, but he chose not to operate that way. The NFL is going to be starting next weekend, their new schedule. A lot of National Football League teams have requirements for their players as far as charitable things they need to be doing in the community. They even have special offices set up in their office to line up visits to hospitals or soup kitchens or helping with Thanksgiving dinners. And the players are supposed to kind of sign up for these things. And it's pretty much expected of them that they have to do this to be part of the organization. And they know that there's an incentive in their contract and things to be involved. I'm not saying they all do it for the wrong reasons. But there's a little bit of pressure involved for that. When God comes to us as his children and wants to see charity in us, he doesn't force it out of us. He doesn't pressure it out of us. He doesn't intimidate us to try to show kindness and mercy and compassion to people, quite the opposite. In fact, God connects the charity in his children back to what he has done for them on the cross. He takes us in our spiritual lives back to Calvary and what our Savior did for us there. Because the grace of God, His undeserved love for us, is a giving grace. It's a gift grace. His whole relationship to you centers around a present, the free present of His Son, who came into this world to be your Redeemer, who shed His holy blood and gave up His life and went and let Himself be stuck into a cold hole in the ground so that you and I could someday get to come to heaven and have our sins forgiven and be seen as holy and righteous before a holy God. In order to stir up the activity in our hearts to be charitable, God doesn't come to us with pressure. Just the opposite. He gives us complete freedom. And He takes us to the cross. He takes us to what our Savior did for us. Listen to our text. St. Paul has you look up at what happened on the cross. He says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich in heaven, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." That's what motivates our charity. Not any pressure or intimidation. That's what motivates us. Just like a vine on a grape plant, the vine has the life-giving fluid in it that actually creates the branches that grow off of it. That's how it is for us. Christ is the vine, and the life-giving fluid in Him is the gospel, the beautiful message of Christ. And through that gospel message, God has created you as His child. And it's that same powerful fluid of the gospel that goes through you, the branch, down into your life, into the charitable gifts that you do to produce the grapes of good works. It's all connected back to the fluid of the gospel that runs through us from God into our hearts. And God has decided to attach joy to this activity in us. He's decided to make it something happy for us. A number of years ago, when I was pastor up in Minneapolis, there was an elderly man in my congregation, and he told me that he had pretty much fallen away from church for about 50 years, and then his wife died, and at her funeral, he thought to himself, maybe I should go back to church. And because of that, started studying again and became a member. And he was so excited now to learn about the gospel. But he told me that every week, I think it was on Wednesdays, he would go to a local restaurant and he would always go and look for the family in there that seemed to need the most help. And he would go pick up their check and pay it for them. Sometimes he would just give money to the waitress and have her do it for them. And he told me that this was his favorite thing to do all week. It made him so happy and it gave him such fun to do this. The encouragement from God for us, His children, to be generous and to be charitable and merciful and helpful to people, that's not for God's sake. He's got all the money He wants. He can do anything He wants. It's not even just for the sake of the people whom we help, and it certainly is for them, but it's for us. The encouragement that God gives you as His child, as a branch on the vine of Christ, to be charitable and compassionate and merciful toward people, to be giving in whatever way that means, that encouragement from God is for your benefit and my benefit, for us to have the joy of being involved in this. Our Lord promises, "Whosoever sows generously will also reap generously." And think about it. If you know a Christian person in your life who just seems to excel at being hospitable and giving, I can pretty much guarantee you'll find a happy soul. There's a blessing that comes back to this. And God also uses this activity in us to keep us heavenly minded. Now, we're about to break for a long weekend, and I want to challenge each one of you, just for the fun of it. I want to challenge each one of you as a believer in Christ to find some way over the 3 days coming up to do something generous and very giving towards someone that they will never know about, so you don't get any credit for it. I want to challenge each one of us to do that. And if God works that in us to do that, I want us to then, at that time, reflect on how tremendous His generosity has been toward us in Christ. Amen. Please rise for prayer. And we pray, Almighty and everlasting God, You have made us heirs of Your eternal and great promises. Increase in us daily the gifts of faith, hope, and love, that we may love all that you command, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.